In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus loves you. Not like a lover, like a father. His Father used him, the Word of God, to speak all things into existence, and that means that all things were made through him, and apart from him, nothing was made that was made. And that means he loves you because he made you. And so, when we talk about Jesus' love, get those twisted romantic notions of love that the world pours down our throats, get those out of your head, because Jesus is not your boyfriend. He loves you like a father. And that means he will do anything for you. He will suffer all to save you. He looks at you and he sees that infant child who captured his heart the moment you were born. Now, of course, sadly, some of you here have never known the love of your own physical father, whether it be because your father abandoned you or neglected you or abused you verbally or physically or even in other ways. And if that's the case, that means that your father was a monster. Your father was an agent of Satan, whom Satan used to try to destroy you and to keep you from understanding God as your true father. Now, true fathers, proper fathers, loving fathers, they are a gift from God. And Satan, therefore, attacks them. He attacks men and he causes them to shirk their fatherly and their husbandly duties. Because that's the best way to destroy people and break the faith given them in their baptism. And so, men, you have been given a mighty responsibility. The way that you love your wife and your kids fashions the lens of how they will understand God's love for them. And that means your faithfulness in those callings as father and husband, your faithfulness is a blessed thing. That calling you have, it is a holy one given by God to shower his love upon his children. And it also means that your failures require repentance because they impact eternal destinies. Now, ladies, that also means you've been given an impossible task. You've been given the task of trying to make up where the men in your life have failed. And you do it admirably, but it isn't fair. Many of you, of course, do have good men. You've got loving men, men who try to do right by you, but so many of them are not the spiritual heads of the household that God made them to be. And that's not fair. That has terrible impacts. It impacts your kids, and you see it when your kids wander from the faith that you tried to instill in them. And if they still have faith at all, we often see that their faith is weak, that their faith is not rooted in the worship life of the church. It's disconnected from the means of salvation that God has given, his preached word and his sacraments. And this is the plight of our day, isn't it? We're reaping the harvest of generations of men not being men. And that means that churches the world over have emptied of men and of the young in general. And of course, every generation complains about the next generation, right? It's always been that way. We're always convinced that the next generation will be the end of civilization. And that's why I think I have become old and curmudgeonly in my outlook, because I'm starting to think those thoughts. Aren't we all convinced of that in these days? And whether we are right or wrong, just as so many generations before us have been wrong, if there's a problem, we really need to look to the parents, especially to the fathers. And so you fathers, you grandfathers who are here, good. God bless you. But at the same time, I can't let you off the hook because eternal destinies depend on it. And that means you need to repent of your failings. It means you need to ask for strength to be the men that you are called to be, to set the example that you should in all things. And it means that you also then need to rest in the grace of your loving Father for you, who has sent His Son to save you. And this is something that we as a church need to be praying about. We need to be praying for godly fathers in our day. And of course, I've now laid it at the door of the men, right? But I can't let the ladies here completely off the hook either. Women, you married these men. Good guy or not, you chose men who were less than you knew God required of you and of them. And that's something that we should repent for. And of course, you should pray for your men, as I know that you probably already do. But now let's ponder fatherhood in general. A father's love, kind of goes without saying, a father's love is different from a mother's love, right? Mothers tend to want to protect their children from all harm. Some mothers would go so far as to bubble wrap their kids to try and keep them safe. Fathers, on the other hand, have a tendency to want their kids to be bold and courageous and to try things. They'll say of their toddler, go ahead, climb up that tall tower, climb up that great big huge, you know, playground thing there. If you fall off, I'll be there to wipe up the blood. And if you succeed, or if you fail, you'll learn a valuable lesson about your own limits, about safety, about what you're capable of. And so go out, conquer the world, and take your lumps as you go. Of course, because of these kinds of attitudes that are different between men and women, our world these days loves to paint fathers as though they are bumbling fools who are not on top of it like moms are, who lose track of things, even and especially of their kids. And sure, sometimes we do. And sometimes that is because of our own sinful failings and our preoccupations with whatever it is. But sometimes it's because we are okay with our kids exploring things that a mom might be a little more anxious about. Now, we all know men and women worry about very different things, right? Moms, many times, will encourage their daughters to date. They'll get excited about that kind of thing. Sometimes they'll even want to engage in boy talk. Fathers, almost universally, if they see a guy coming around, even if their daughter's 5 years old or 15, what do fathers want to do? Get out their guns. And if they don't have guns, they want to go buy them. And so, men and women think very differently. But Jesus loves you like a father. He warns you of the risks of your behaviors. He sets you free to live your life. He seeks you out and He picks up the pieces when you've crashed and burned. And He hunts down and destroys your enemies who enslave or entrap you. And He makes all things right in your world. And so in today's gospel, He was being a father. He was about to leave. He was about to die. The next chapter or two or three after that in Matthew's gospel, just days later, he dies. He's about to die and return to his father, and so he strongly warns his kids, saying, "Let the reader understand." He expected them to listen to him, and they did. And, you know, history records that in 70 AD, just a short 40 years after he said these words, in 70 AD, the Romans came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem where he was speaking. And they slaughtered the people of that city. They tore down its temple. Not one stone of that temple stood upon another stone when they were done. That city was gone. It was a heap of rubble for hundreds of years afterwards. And you know what? History records that the Christians saw it coming. And that they had gotten out. Why? Because they'd listened to Jesus, their father. They'd listened to the warnings of their father. They saw the apostasy, the turning away from the Lord of their Jewish brothers in the temple. They saw that unbelief in Jesus the Savior as the abomination that causes desolation, that causes God to abandon His temple. And God could abandon that temple because 40 years earlier, the Son of the Father who inhabited that temple came and made one sacrifice for sin that put the need for all sacrifices in that temple to an end. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the entire world, both the living and the dead and those who were not yet born. And so that temple was no longer needed. Those who believed in Jesus, who were still in Jerusalem, they saw all these things coming, and they got out as soon as they saw that the abomination was there, that the Romans were about to descend on Jerusalem and hem it in and destroy it. And so they fled quickly, not turning back, not going to get things in their houses. Those who were out in the countryside fled to the hills. And literally, we're told in those who recorded these histories, we're told they actually went to a town called Pella up in the hill country of Israel. It's recorded in history. They got out because the Lord warned them. They listened to their loving Father. His word saved them. And notice in His words to us this day that His fatherly love is in those verses there. And His fatherly love did more than that. He didn't just warn them. He also cut those days short, He said. He cut them short to minimize the suffering for the sake of His elect, His chosen ones, His beloved children. That's what fathers do. They don't delight in their kids' suffering, and so they cut it short if they can. But of course, a father will let their kid go through it when there is a lesson that needs to be learned. But as soon as they see that lesson being learned, they cut that suffering short if they can. And so the first 8 verses of our gospel today were for them. They're also for us, so that we might see His love in the course of history. And of course, His temple now is His church. And so that means when we see unbelief, when we see false teaching, when we see false prophets or false Christs arising within His church, an abomination that will cause God to desolate, to flee, to depart from His church, when we see that within His church, we need to call it out for what it is. And if those falsehoods cannot be dislodged, then we must flee from those falsehoods and save ourselves from the eternal destruction that those vultures would rain down on us. And that's what the last 5 verses of the gospel reading tell us this day. You, the church, you've fled Jerusalem. You no longer look to the Old Testament. You now trust in the New Testament in Jesus' blood. God has provided for you in the mountains, on Mount Calvary. He's saved you from the death of sin. And as a father, He still allows calamities in your life so that you will learn from them. But He cuts them short once you've learned the lessons you need to learn. For He never delights in your suffering. He is your loving Father. He's the spitting image of His Father. But it is His word that saves you. So don't depart from His word. Don't look for new prophets or new messiahs. Don't believe anyone who says that Jesus has come again or that some new messiah of God has arisen. That's the mark of a cult. Remember Waco, Texas, back in the 90s? David Koresh? He claimed to be the Christ. And he's not the only one. There's been all kinds of cults that have done that here and there. But it's not always so obvious as that, is it? You need to listen to what any Christian who stands up and claims they are a prophet or speaking on God's behalf, you need to listen to what they are saying. You need to test it against God's word. Because His word saves you. False prophets are vultures eager to pick the bones of the dead and the dying. So don't run after false prophets or false teachers who tell you what your itching ears want to hear. When some pastor has major worldly success selling books, if you pay any heed to that book at all, you should test what they say to see if they are actually teaching what God says, or if they are merely playing to our vanities. For we all know how hostile this world is becoming and always has been to God's Word and to God's Savior. And so if the world embraces a prophet, we need to ask why, and if they are indeed a prophet of Jesus. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to Jews and its foolishness to Gentiles. The world has always hated Jesus, and it always will. A God who could pardon and forgive the sins of the most evil person on earth, even someone as bad as Hitler. Does that sit well with you? Would you want Hitler to be in heaven? Many of us wouldn't, would we? And you know why that is? Because secretly, we think that we're not as bad as that. We think that we are better or more savable than that sort of sinner. Repent. There is nothing worth saving in you. You are only saved because God is your loving Father. Twice. First, He created you. And secondly, He redeemed you. And so you parents, you know how you would move heaven and earth for your children if you could. And He does that for you. Not because of any merit or worthiness in you, but because He loves you like a father. And so Jesus warns us, don't go out searching for Him in far-off places. He can be found right here in your church, in as long as there's faithful preaching of His Word and the right administration of His sacraments according to His Word. Nor do you need to look inside your house or inside your heart for Him. Instead of Him, when you look inside yourself, you'll only find your own misperceptions, your own feelings, your own thoughts. Because He always comes from outside of us into us. And this is His warning to us who live in these last days. Wherever there is a dying, hurting soul, false preachers will always descend like vultures upon them. So instead, rest in His Word. Hear His Word. Feed your body and soul, His body and blood, and receive His salvation by those things. And listen to Him, your loving Father, who will save you by His Word and has already moved heaven and earth for every time that you haven't listened to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.